Jason, you come around, preach to us. Appreciate this young man. He's got a heritage here, his family. His dad, mom, his grandpa and grandma, I love you. Preach to us. Amen. They'll run the light for you.
Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I do want to say I appreciate the opportunity. I do appreciate the camp meeting, the wonderful messages we've heard all week. And last week, the singing. I told my daughter I've had some precious times with her. At our house, I have a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old. And most of the time, those two boys get a lot of my time. They get a lot of my attention. And I have got to spend wonderful time with my daughter. And I told her, don't you ever take what you got to hear in this place for granted, because there's no better preaching than what you've heard in these couple weeks. And I'm thankful for that. I love my family. I'm getting ready to preach. God's in the corn business. He's in the church business too. I'm getting ready to preach on the family of Christ, the fellowship that you and I have. This is just a reminder. This is a reminder for you. You already do it. What makes this meeting so special is we're in unison. We're in unity. I'm not trying to improve on anything that's ever been said. I can't. I'm just trying to add to it. Add to that truth. And by the way, you can't improve on truth. You can't do that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this meeting and this opportunity. Father, I pray you'd guard our mind and our mouth. Fill us with your power. Lord, anoint us with your touch. Fill us with your spirit. God, we do pray. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message this morning is, Little Children, We Have Fellowship. In fact, this epistle is all about the global family of God. Some writers even call it a family epistle. John focuses on the joys, and he focuses on the delights of fellowship. And he has a lot to say about love, and he has a lot to say about light. But this book helps us maximize our potential in fellowship with Christ and with the family. I want to tell you, there's no greater living than have fellowship with Jesus Christ and fellowship with His people. There's no greater living than that kind of living. In fact, John's writing at an older age. He's way up in years. He's writing from a pastor's heart. In fact, his audience is a third generation Christian. Pentecost had come. Pentecost had gone. New Testament church and Christianity had been ushered in, and he's reminding them, hey, you've got something Mama had. You've got something Papa had. You've got a fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you've got a fellowship with His family. That word fellowship in the text means in common. It means communion. In fact, other areas it means even intimate. there are some things you and I have in common. If you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, He's in me, hallelujah, we have a fellowship. John writes this letter also to combat the growing heresy of Gnosticism. And the only reason I point that out this morning is because straight out of the gate, he absolutely blows false doctrine out of the water. Gnostic believed that Jesus Christ was a created being, that Jesus Christ was no way God and took on human flesh because all matter in their eyes were evil. False doctrine was invading this generation of Christians. And look at the text. That which was from the beginning. I want to remind you this morning that John writes and gives us the basis of our fellowship. He starts out first with the conditions of our fellowship. And life today, and you know it, is all about relationships. You were never meant to live on an island by yourself. There's a movie, Castaway. If you've ever seen it, Tom Hanks gets stuck on an island, and guess what? He ends up talking to a volleyball. You were created by a holy God. And by the way, you need the church, and the church needs you. You need one another today. We have a fellowship, and we have a family. That started way back in Genesis. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. Fellowship was a pillar of the early church. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And by the way, that early church turned the world upside down without any help of the world. In fact, that fellowship made a mark to the outside world that their people can come together with different likes and different opinions and different ideas under the banner of Jesus Christ. First this morning, our fellowship in verse 1 is in the reality of Christ. John begins his epistle and also his gospel in taking us to the very existence, taking us to the very eternal Christ. He tells us in Revelation that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. John pulls no punches here. If you'll read his epistle, he uses absolutes. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either friend of God or you're an enemy of God. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in the darkness. There's no in between with John. That John does not pull any absolute punches. I love the song my daughter sang. He didn't even take time to sign his letter. He said, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the one that was from the beginning. That which was, that is in perfect tense, and that means an abiding state. Christ has always been, and he's always will be. Hallelujah. He's from the start, he's in the middle, and he'll be there at the end. We have fellowship in Jesus Christ. John's basically, I like to use it in my slang, he's basically hollering to the church, he's real. Jesus Christ is real. Hallelujah. He said, not only is he from the beginning, I've seen him, I've handled him, I've heard him, I've touched him, I was there when he was there. He's real this morning. You say, preacher, you wasn't there when John was there, but I've seen him through the eyes of faith in the lens of Scripture. He's real. Because my Bible tells me he's real. Our fellowship is in the reality of Christ. He audibly heard, he physically seen, he intently studied, and he tangibly touched. John used 3 out of the 5 senses that we have to convince his audience that Christ is real. Not only is our fellowship in the reality of Christ, our fellowship is in the revealing of Christ. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you. John, again, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. He re-emphasizes through repetition. He kept telling them, and he's telling us that he has authority, that he is true and he is right, because he was an eyewitness of our Lord and Savior. John was there and he's seen multitudes fed. John was there when he seen miracles being performed. John was there on Mount Transfiguration. He is telling them, we have a fellowship because Christ is real, but we also have a fellowship and that he manifested himself to us. Preachers make me nervous. I about didn't even sit beside Dana. Scared me to death. But I realized that if you're saved and I'm saved, we got in the same way. You say manifestation means to make visible, to reveal, to make known the unknown. What are you saying? There's no way I could be good enough, even though I did come from 2 generations of preachers. I don't have enough money. I can't work my way there. God had to come to me, and God had to come to you. He had to reveal himself, manifest himself to you and to me. And we have fellowship because we went the same way, followed the same truth, and have the same life. Jesus, 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 that is our fellowship. I was minding my own business as a 5-year-old boy. You say you knew all that at 5? Absolutely not. But I do know this. God manifested himself through the Holy Spirit. I seen God like I've never seen him before. And then guess what? When he done that, he showed me like I've never seen me before. Uh-oh. I ain't as good as I thought I was. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. He made visible to you if you've been saved, and he manifested himself to me when he saved me by his marvelous grace. I want to mention about John being an eyewitness. Spurgeon said one eyewitness is better than 20 ear witnesses. And I want to remind you, no, whether you was on a church pew, whether you was on a bar stool, whether you was on a street corner, we can have fellowship under the banner of Jesus Christ. We can have some things in common. We can have a family. We can have a Savior. We're serving and working. Not only John give us this fellowship of revealing, John encountered Christ. And I just want to say this and I'll move on, and I'm just about done. John encountered Christ and John experienced Christ. But notice a few things in verses 2 and 3. He couldn't help but to express Christ. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness. And thank God and show unto you. And then in verse 3 he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare. That is to make openly known, to proclaim. What are you saying? He encountered Christ. He experienced Christ, and he couldn't help but tell others about Christ. He said, I bore witness of him. I'm a witness of Jesus Christ. I want to show you, and I want to tell you of a good Savior that he is. I don't know about you, but I believe that's the church's work. We are to show and tell the gospel. No other thing, no other person can take a bar stool and a church pew and a street corner and combine them together and make a family. Only Jesus can do that. Only the gospel can do that. Our fellowship is in the reality of Christ. And our fellowship is in the revealing of Christ. And our fellowship is in the rejoicing in Christ. John said in verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That word joy implies a gladness, a delight, an inner rejoicing. In fact, it's a deep-seated pleasure of assurance and confidence in God Almighty. Whether the storms get high, whether we have to separate down here, I still have Jesus. And hallelujah, he's got me. John writes these things so that your joy and my joy can be full. Virtually throughout the New Testament, that word joy signifies a feeling of happiness. Hold on here. Based on spiritual reality. In fact, joy is a gift from God to his family. The world can't experience that, but I thank God his family can experience this. In fact, Psalm 16:11 said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I told you earlier, I'm going to tell you again, there's no better living than you being in Christ, him being in you, and you being with the family. There's no greater living than that. That's joyous living. I didn't say it was easy living. I said it was joyous living. Jesus was even concerned with it. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You say, preacher, we're losing them by the groves. COVID's come, they ain't never come back. We're smaller and smaller than we ever have been. I want to tell you, no wonder sometimes the world wants nothing to do with Jesus and nothing to do with church, because they hear nothing good about the church and they don't hear anything good about Christ. I tell my people all the time, you brag on a cheeseburger long enough, they'll try it. Eventually, they'll try it. You brag on Jesus Christ. You brag on the church. You brag on your family. You brag on your fellowship. Hallelujah. They're liable to try. That word full in the text, and I'm done. It means filled full. Brother Larry did that. The Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, he got baptized. Philip got whisked away. He did a great job. You remember what the Bible said? He didn't wonder where Philip went. He left rejoicing. That's what Jesus will do for you. But not only will he give us joy, he fills us with joy. Fills us full with joy. Not only can I have joy today, I can be full of joy in my fellowship with Christ. David got ahead of this, and I'm done. In Psalm 23, you know it. He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but yet he says, my cup runneth over. He's just in the family. He's in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. True fellowship with God, true fellowship with His church brings true joy into your life. Love you this morning. Thank you for listening.
Good preaching.